Wilda, tell me about Mr. Bowen. Who was he? Was he a doctor or what?
No, he was, I think he was one of the head ones of S.A. Cook and Company, furniture.
What did he have to do with the hospital?
He was a head one.
Head trustee?
He was a trustee. Mm-hmm. He was the one that everybody turned to if they needed anything.
Quite the instigator of getting this.
Miss Douglas went to him for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He was our sidekick.
And who was Helen Van Ostrand?
Helen was a telephone operator and handled the bills and those things. Mm-hmm. Took care of that. Bookkeeper, I suppose.
That's before everybody had to have 1,000 pieces of paper for every time they moved?
Just nothing much to it then.
Yeah. How did they handle cases where people were very ill, but they didn't have any money to pay for it?
Well, of course, we never knew what they were taking in. They never turned anybody away. Everybody was kept there. I suppose probably there was some way of getting it money from the county or something.
Do you know what happened to older people? They didn't have a north wing like where you're living now.
No, they were, a lot of older people, I think years ago, were kept at home. They weren't brought to the hospital unless, you know, they didn't have it. I think a lot of them would be better off at home, too, right now. They wouldn't live as long. Mm-hmm. Here, they'll keep you alive forever. You got a pain, you get a pill. Mm-hmm. It keeps you going. You see that a lot of those people are over 90 years old, and that's my one objection to this place. I don't want to live long. I got nothing to live for, and I don't want to live on and on.
Well, now, if you had felt that way 3 weeks ago, I couldn't be getting this interview, so you just, you're wrong. You have you see, if you don't have a mind, and if you're suffering,
that's
different. But you are so alert, and you have so much to share.
I enjoy life when it comes right down to it. Uh-huh. I have a lot of wonderful friends. I got 2 lovely letters today.
Well, you see.
I got a little Rochester granddaughter that wrote from out in Seattle, outside of Seattle.
Oh, she's the one that you have your picture on the wall.
Yes. She and her husband. I got a nice letter from her today. Uh-huh. They're both interested in the same thing, and they're just having such a good time. And she said that, believe it or not, the skiing was nothing there this year. And she said, we're just so anxious to close up here and get down to our place. They have this land. Get our land cleaned and get things ready, she said, so we can start building our home. And they're clearing this land. They've cut down the woods. And
near Rochester?
And way out well, it isn't right in Seattle. It's outside. Oh. I can't just think what the...
Oh, we have enough snow and ice in New York State this last month.
To do us forever.
I have never seen anything like it. Well, Wilda, we're on tape number 2 on the second side, and I would like you to take over and just tell us, if you'd like to, as much as you'd like to, about your interests other than nursing. I know that you said you met and married a very wonderful man and that you traveled a lot. So would you tell us about...
We've been to Norway twice. He was Norwegian.
How did you go?
We went by boat the first time. And the second time we flew over. Oh, it's beautiful. I can see that water yet. Oh, it was an awful feeling the first night or so to think we were on water, and I'd think, suppose the boat goes down. But, oh, it was just like a living palace we were traveling in.
What year was that about?
Oh, let's see, that was, golly, I don't know, I'd have to look it up.
Mm-hmm.
We went to, maybe in my diary, my autograph book, I might have the date that we went, somebody that over there that wrote the name in there.
Well, who did you stay with, or did you stay in a hotel?
My husband was Norwegian, and we went to his nieces, stayed with them, we saw his sister. Entertained by everyone over there. Just, he was like royalty. Oh, we just had a wonderful
What's the food like? Is it quite different than ours?
Oh, it is beautiful over there. It's, of course, mountainous.
Yes.
And, well, he was born over there. He was 4 years old when his father died. And he and his mother lived in the end of the schoolhouse, the little living quarters. And he lived there with his mother, widowed. He was the last of 7 children. And when his father died, he said his father was older than his mother quite a bit. And I remember after we were married the first time, he got a letter from Norway. And he started to cry when he opened it, and I didn't know why, and his mother had died. He just felt so bad to think that he wasn't going to get home and see her alive again.
So you never met his mother?
No, I never met her. She was gone when we went over, but he had nieces. One niece came over here and visited us for, she was here for over a month or more. We just enjoyed her. And she could speak English. Of course, I got over there and I didn't know Norwegian, but the ones that could speak English, most of them learn English in school.
Yeah.
And they could talk to me, and we just had a wonderful time.
What was the food like in Norway?
Oh, okay, wonderful. Just grand. The Norwegians fix everything fancy and wouldn't believe it. They could make little sandwiches and coffee. You had that every afternoon, you know. You had
coffee?
To have your coffee hour. Mm-hmm. They'd go strong on coffee and little cakes and cookies. And we stayed out in the country with his sister and her husband. Oh, we just had a wonderful time. It's almost impossible to think of all the friends that Elmer went to school with would be there. Mm-hmm. I have a friend in Rochester, and while we were over there, the first time we sent home a little girl's address to a little friend in Rochester, and they started writing and had letters back before we got home. And this last summer she went to Norway and met her little friend, and her daughter wrote to a friend, the little girl over there, and her daughter had letters back and forth before they got home.
That's wonderful.
Oh, we went to Norway twice. The first time was by boat, the second time we flew. But, we had money left to us, and we figured, why put it in the bank?
Right.
We might better enjoy ourselves, so we went to Norway the second time. We had a wonderful time. We flew the second time. Of course, I was terrified.
Is that the first time you were
looking out at the planes? Elmer, I said, all these planes ahead of us will hit one of them when we get up there. But when the moon came out, I just kept putting the window curtain up and looking at that moon. I said, the man, the moon would come down, I'd run away with him. I'll always love the sunsets and the moon. And then when I was 12 years old, we went out to Saskatchewan, and we spent 3 weeks. 3 weeks, I think, we're out there with Elmer's, maybe longer than that, with Mother's niece and her family on a prairie. I was 12 years old. They all come down for coffee.
Yes. Did Elmer have relatives in Canada?
Not in Canada, no. He did in Norway. That was with my folks. My mother was Canadian.
Your mother, right.
She had nieces and nephews over there, her brothers and sisters. Well, we were over when her mother was alive over there, mm-hmm. Aunt Libby's. I was a little kid then, and so was Ethel. Ethel mm-hmm. was 2 years older and some months than I was.
Well, you had said that your father was a railroad man, and so you had passes to go.
Yes, we had passes. We had a pass on the Coburg boat. We could get up in the morning and go to Coburg any day we wanted to. Mother wouldn't go.
Why wouldn't she go?
Oh, she didn't like it. She didn't care about it. All we had to do was go down to town Rochester and catch the train and ride out to Shalott and get on the boat and go over to Canada and have a couple hours roaming around Coburg and turn around and come home again. Usually got a soda when we got off the boat. But Mother never liked to go. We went a few times. Elmer and I went too. We got pictures of that, us on the boat.
Where else did you and Elmer travel besides Norway?
Well, let's see. We went out to, Elmer had a brother out in Oregon, Portland, Oregon.
That's a beautiful state.
And we went out there to his brothers. They came to see us first, and then we went out there. And I remember we were fixing the house up before they came, and we had new linoleum, a bathroom put in. Elmer said, they couldn't stand it if they didn't have a bathroom in the house. So we had a bathroom put in, and of course it's an old house, but we had a large clothes press off our room, mm-hmm. just mm-hmm. an ordinary room. And we put a bathroom in there, mm-hmm. and we were getting all fixed up, running water, and we had it all fixed when they came from Portland. But we had been out to see them, and we got acquainted with them. Elmer lived out there when he first came mm-hmm. to Norway, from Norway, and mm-hmm. of course his brother was already over here. He had two brothers out there. Mm-hmm. The first time we went to Montana to the one brothers, his mm-hmm. wife had lost her mind and been sick for a long time, and she mm-hmm. had died. And then we went on to Oregon to see the, and his brother said to me, well, Wilda, you wait till you see Mina. Oh, he says, Axel can hardly move without she tells him what to do. She's the bossiest thing you ever met. He had me scared. We had an awful good time out there. Then after they died, years later, Elmer had to go out and settle up everything. Mm-hmm. When he was sick, Elmer went out, and then he died, so Elmer stayed for the funeral. Mm-hmm. And then later, after she died, well, we went out, and the house mm-hmm. and everything was left to us, and we had to go out and clean up everything.
That's hard.
Sell the house. It was hard. It was mm-hmm. an awful thing. Mm-hmm. The last of Elmer's people made him feel bad, you know, mm-hmm. in this country.
Mm-hmm. Your husband was a big man, wasn't he? Tall.
Well, he was taller than I am, but he wasn't heavy. He wasn't a heavy-set man. Mm-hmm. I can't remember just how he weighed. He was a polisher and plater. Mm-hmm. He did that kind of work when he came over here, but he could draw, he could do, oh, he was wonderful. His picture's there on the stand in
yes.
the dresser.
Yes, that's a lovely picture.
That was taken in, I think I was going to say Brooklyn. It was near New York. Mm-hmm. We're visiting someone, and they took us over to this place to mm-hmm. visit. Norwegian lady lived there, and she had Norwegian food mm-hmm. for us. Oh, I had a wonderful
would you
life.
Would you want to tell us, when did he die? When did your
he
husband
die? He died just 2 years ago, last April. It'll be 3 years this year. And last June, 27th,
would have
been our 50th wedding anniversary.
That would be 1978 mm-hmm. he died?
2 years ago, mm-hmm. in April 5th. Mm-hmm. Well, he hadn't been well for quite a while, and of course I took care of him as long as I could.
Mm-hmm. But you said you would have been married 50 years this June?
50 years last June.
Last June.
And somebody cut it out of the Medina paper 50 years ago, cut it out, put it on a card congratulating me, and I broke down, cried like a baby.
Oh, I bet you
I said, what a thoughtless thing to do.
Well, they probably thought they were doing something nice.
She probably thought I didn't even see it. Of course, yeah. Russell Waldo always did that, you know. He put the different years in every...
Yes.
He started that.
Is that right?
He worked at the paper.
Yes, I know. When I interviewed Helen Waldo, she said they... Well, we're talking about all kinds of things, really.
You know, Helen has... I have a namesake, Helen, named after me.
Is that right?
She's got a Wilda.
Yes, that's right.
She's a darling. She's been so good to me since I've been up here.
Would you want to tell us how you happened to come to the long-term part of the hospital to stay here?
Well, it was 2 years ago, Jean told me. It was after Christmas. Christmas time, they brought my dinner in. And
you were at home?
I was alone at home. Mm-hmm. See, Elmer died in June. Mm-hmm. And I sold Roger my home for the privilege of having life use of it.
Mm-hmm. Roger?
I looked after everything.
Who is Roger?
Roger Millis.
Oh.
I sold him the home. Mm-hmm. And Jean and Roger, they were the ones that did it. Roger grew up neighbor there, and he'd mm-hmm. always been, the Millises were always awfully good to us.
This was down at Waterport, wasn't
Waterport.
It?
Waterport, mm-hmm. They lived up on the hill
from us,
and I knew his mother. In fact, I took care of his aunt in Lindenville first. Mm-hmm. And of course, I knew Mrs. Millis before that. I can't just remember how I met her. Anyway, when we moved down there, I knew the Millises. We used to get our milk from them. Mm-hmm. And so I saw their family grow up, and then as time went on, of course, we bought our house was an awful looking thing. It had three coats of tar paper on it, and the paper was all rough and ragged around it. Went in the house to look, it was empty, the land bank had it, and the wallpaper was hanging in the dining room. I remember reaching up and pulling a piece of wallpaper down. Elmer said, don't do that. I said, why not? Nobody could live here the way it is now. And I tore off a piece of wallpaper. Well, we moved in there, and then after Daddy died, well, we had money left to us we could put into something, so mm-hmm. we put it into our home. We put a bathroom in this clothes press off of our bedroom, mm-hmm. beautiful bathroom. We fixed up the kitchen and put in plumbing. Mm-hmm. And Elmer put in our own furnace, put mm-hmm. it in himself. He was a plater and polisher. Mm-hmm. He could turn his hand to anything he wanted to do. He shingled the roof once, mm-hmm. and then afterwards, there was tar paper around the roof, and then mm-hmm. afterwards we had a contractor. Mm-hmm. No, we bought the things. He was going to do it, and Elmer was sick, and this friend came over, brought this kind of an asbestos with mm-hmm. stones on it, you know, and Elmer was going to do it, and he wouldn't let Elmer up on the roof, and he finished that for mm-hmm. us. Then Coraline's father put a chimney up mm-hmm. front for us. After Elmer mm-hmm. put the furnace in, he was.
But after your husband died, you were living there alone?
I was there alone from June until February, and I had for some time, every once in a while, I'd fall down, but I didn't know what happened. I'd go down so fast. I'd go out to the garage for something, and all of a sudden I'd be on the ground. My knees buckled, and I didn't know what was doing it. And so this was Christmas, and Jean and Roger, Jean and her father, had brought me my dinner. Her folks were down to their place. And, of course, I'd known Roger since he was little tight.
Yes.
And then, of course, he married Jean, and they moved in the neighborhood, and they were always awfully good to us. And so I went out to the garage for something one day, and I just went down so fast I didn't know what happened. Mm-hmm. I was always telling Jean about it, you know. Mm-hmm. I said, go down so fast, I don't know what happens to me. And so I went out, I had my dinner, Jean, they brought it in, and I went out and washed the dishes and put them on the sink. And when I came back in, I had a cup of coffee on my table next to my chair, and I'd gotten the coffee and put it on the table and came back in, and just as I got near my chair, down I went. And I knocked the coffee, and my legs hurt so I couldn't get up. And I had to sit there for a long time. Finally, I got up and I called Jean and I told her.
Mm-hmm.
This was, I think it was after Christmas. I don't think it was Christmas Day, because her folks were down there then. And so I said, oh, Jean, I said, I couldn't get up off the floor. My knees hurt me awful. Well, from that on, I was sick. I didn't know what was the matter with me. And I had Dr. Bell would come to the house, and he came to see me.
Roosevelt,
Dr.
Bell,
not too far from us. He's the Lindenville doctor.
Yes.
But he makes house calls, and that's why I wanted him.
Yes.
So he came down there. They also have a church up across from where Melissa's house is. I don't know what it is. It's some some religion, but I don't know what kind.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, before this, Jean had taken me for a ride and showed me they were using this Ingram's house for a church. And there were flowers out there, and she called Mrs. Bell and told her, and she said she'd come down and get them. But then, of course, since that, they've had their babies and all. But Dr. Bell came to the house and talked with Jean, and so they brought me in here.
Mm-hmm.
And I was down in the other part. Now, a week ago Sunday, I think it was, or was it 2 weeks this Sunday, a young couple came in for church service. They came in, and he had preached a service or something, and I didn't go out right away. I didn't know they were out there till I heard them playing the piano. And I went out and I sat there, and I was in a room on the first floor, the second floor, I don't know what they call it now. And I said, there were four people in that room. And Jean says, no, Wilder, you were only two of you. I had insurance for a two-bedroom. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, there were four people. Well, Jean said, there were four people in there while you were in there, but you were in there with one person.
Mm-hmm.
And I just couldn't visualize that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't know what was what. Well, this Sunday, this young couple were there. The little girl played the piano, the mother played the piano, and the father had already spoken before I got out there. This girl came over and she said, aren't you Wilda? And I said, yes, I'm Wilda. And she said, I knew you were.
Who was the girl?
And she was the one that had, she said, I'm Dee Dee. And I said, Dee Dee? I don't know who Dee Dee was. She said, I was with you down in that room. And I said, well, I vowed there was four of us in there. And she said, no, there was only the two. And that's the first time I've seen her, and I don't remember what she said her last name was, but I was so surprised, because I had argued with Jean that there was four people in that room. So when I told Jean, she knew who she was.
Well.
And Jean said, I told you there was only two of you. But I could still see the four people in that room.
Oh,
yet I knew when I came to that. And so then when she said that to me, I knew.
But you had passed out too, right?
I must have been. Oh, my mind wasn't clear for a long time. And Jean and Roger took me home. And even then my mind wasn't clear.
Mm-hmm.
They took me home, and when they picked me up to take me back, she brought lunch over. And they didn't take me over home to their place to eat, but they brought lunch over and let me eat alone. And when they came to get me, she said, did you pick up anything you wanted? Well, I had no notion of leaving home. I expected I was coming back. I had just gotten this beautiful scene of television. And here they had insured it on Elmer, and if I'd known that, I'd have had a fit. I chewed my head off when I found out about it. But, then I didn't get a chance to Mr. McCarroll. They bought everything. They bought my furniture and everything.
Who bought it?
Jean and Roger. And I didn't have a chance to go. If they'd let me go through the house, I knew where things were that I wanted, I would have
gotten.
Things
moved too quickly then, really.
I had things. I have an ashtray from the North Cape, way up where the sun never sets. Very few people get there. And went way up there in the middle of the night. Here was this gorgeous, great big sun going down us, climbing the mountain to see the sun. Why, they said, why climb up there? You go down the road a little ways, you can see it through the crack of the mountain. We went on this bus tour.
People just don't understand that unless they are into it.
No, they thought, of course, it wasn't going to come back up again, but it does. And so when we got down on the bus, somebody said, come, I kept going ahead of Elmer, and he kept saying, Wilda, wait for me. Wilda. And I kept going faster and faster and finally caught up with me. You make me sick. He says, you know, you got to turn around and walk down these stairs and it isn't going to be easy. And I wanted to get to the top. I wanted to. And he said, they stay down the road. You go down the road where the bus stands. He says, you can see that sun just as good as you can up here. And it's the same sun. So I start going down and every step my knees hurt. Oh, I thought I'd die. Well, if you'd listened to me, you wouldn't have been way up here. I groaned and groaned all the way down to the bottom. But, oh, that was a wonderful trip.
Well, you have lots of wonderful memories.
Oh, I've got so many memories. And my dad being a railroad man, we had passes for Coburg. We could go every day and Mother wouldn't go. I think now, boy, I'd been on the road all the time if I just...
Yes, I think if I had a free pass to any place, I'd go all the time.
I would. You know, he could get passes for anywhere. Mother wouldn't go.
Well, Wilda, this tape is whirling around here and... I'm wondering if there's anything at all that you can remember about being a nurse, or how about somewhere you wrote down that when one of your patients did die, and patients do die sometimes, you held the hand of someone.
Mrs. Maynard, Dr. Maynard's wife. She was the sweetest thing. She was holding my hand when she died.
She was in the hospital here?
No, she was at home. She was a dear soul. When you get, I want you to look at my autograph book.
I will.
While I'm here, because I want to see what you think of some of them. She wrote in that, most of my patients wrote in there for me. And she was a dear. We spent many an hour that wasn't, as she put in her book there, wasn't the happiest. I knew Dr. Maynard. I knew him well. I remember one time he bawled me out. I was supposed to be giving chloroform to somebody, and I was watching him, I guess, deliver a baby. And he said, you can't put her under, Miss Edick, if you don't give her some. I often think of that. He was a dear. He was so nice to us. But Miss Douglas and he were delivering the baby, and I was watching them instead of dropping the chloroform.
Dear. What about the nurses around here today? Are they quite different than, or are they the...
The what?
Are the nurses that are around
these
here
girls aren't trained.
Pretty much like you were?
I don't think if they are, they aren't trained alone. They don't make a bed like we did. We never get away with a bed the way they make them. I complimented them today. I told them I wasn't putting my rope throw over the top of it because I said, you really did a good job today. I'll let it show. But most of the time, they just throw things together, and often I go and make my bed over after them. They don't like it, but I don't.
Well, do they have candy stripers, young girls, to help in the hospital here now?
Well, I can't remember whether they had different uniforms than we did or not.
But did they have young girls come in without training when you were here early?
Oh, yes. Brought them in without training. Miss Douglas trained them. We had, of course, Catherine Mail and I, and Dorothy Forder, we were all, well, of course, I had a little training, but the rest of them hadn't.
Yes.
And, we started in that old hospital, I'm telling you, that was something.
What about the physical therapy? Did you have any physical therapy
rooms
when you were first starting in 24?
No, I can't remember any.
In the openness, I think they've come.
Offhand, I can't remember any. We had x-ray in the basement where they could x-ray people.
Have they always had, have ministers always come into the hospitals?
Oh, yes. Mr. Finley, did I tell you about
that? Yes, you told us about Mr. Finley. What about, now you and I are sitting, again, we're sitting in the chapel room. This is a room set aside for people who want to use the chapel. What did they do before they had this room? People just used their side of their bed.
The minister just came in and visited them, and that was it, I guess. I don't remember. I don't remember any priests coming in. Father Kelly used to come all the time to the old hospital, but I don't remember him giving communion or anything. Now he may have and may not know it.
Does a minister call on you? Often?
No, well, our minister has just changed. Reverend Cushman has left. He was here two or three times, is all to see me. But I get the bulletin from the church. See, he has the new minister now is there, and he has three churches, so the three groups, but they don't, so far he hasn't been up to see me.
But do they have programs in the other room? How often do they have a minister come in?
Well, every weekend, usually. There's a man, he isn't exactly a minister, and he is a Pentecostal, because they left me a paper Sunday, the little, I didn't go out. I couldn't, oh, he just drives me crazy. He goes on one foot and then the other, and he can't carry a tune.
He's a Pentecostal.
He didn't have anybody play the piano Sunday, and
that's
it was
hard.
Terrible. When he did, he doesn't carry a tune when he does have a piano.
How do you like that? Do you like to have somebody play the piano in there or not?
Oh, yes, I like to have entertainment, any kind of entertainment.
Do they do it just on Sundays, or do they have other people come in?
Oh, we've had an awful lot of entertaining. Not right lately. Christmas time, they were caroling up and down the halls after we went to bed. We had, oh, they were, people were marvelous to us.
How about the rest of the year?
Well, the rest of the year, of course, sometimes there's somebody comes in that wants to entertain, or there's something doing while they come in. They're always welcome. Corky's always welcome.
Now, who's Corky?
Carlin Teal. She was a Watterson. She's in charge of our day room. I've known her since she was a little girl. Her father had his 90th birthday the other day, and I took care of him years ago, and he'd say to me, "No, you took care of me once, Wilda." And I say, "Yes, you were the worst patient I ever had." He never paid any attention.
Is the last name Watterson?
Watterson. Her name is Teal now. Carlin Teal.
Would his name be John?
John Watterson.
You know him? Sure.
You ask him if he knows me, and he'll tell you. He had come down here almost every Sunday and visit with Elmer.
Oh, yeah. I think I saw Mr. Watterson on the street one day. He said he had gone to Hawaii.
He was going to Hawaii?
He had been there, and he loved it.
He's been around a lot.
Yes. He's still driving, would you believe it?
He's still driving? He had an awful accident here a while ago.
Really?
And I didn't know whether he had, he could. They didn't find him guilty, but it was Jean's nephew. And John's car was a wreck, but he got another one. He's got
He has a truck. He has a pickup truck.
Now, I had a truck before, I guess, but it was wrecked. Yeah. Well, he had a birthday. Corlin's taking him out. The girls were taking him out. She has a sister, too. And they were taking him out to dinner on his birthday. So I sent him a card, 94 shop, and I got a card, and I sent it to him. And he was so pleased, he turned around and sent me a card, and he said, "Never thought he'd hear from me." I used to talk terrible to him when he came down.
I understand he worked on the canal when they were widening it the last time.
Oh, I never heard that. He's a carpenter and a mason and a darn good one. He put our chimney up in front of our house. But it was every Sunday, he'd be right there sitting on our porch.
Good neighbor.
He'd bring Alice down once in a while, but not too often.
Who's Alice?
That was his first wife, Carlin's mother. Then he married Olive. I don't know what her last name was, but she went to Florida, and he was living with her, I know, before they married her. And now they won't have anything to do with each other.
Oh, dear.
She's down in Florida.
That's too bad.
He'd take the bus here, and, well, she'd known him for years. She worked in the store in Albion for a while.
I'd like to ask you, Wilda, looking at you sitting in this chair with a very pretty dress on, what do you do when your clothes need to be laundered? Does the hospital take care of them? Jean takes them home. You have someone that does it for you?
Jean does it for
you. Supposing you came in without anybody to look after you, who would do it?
I don't know. Probably they'd find clothes for you. They have a laundry here. They do all our underwear.
I see.
Any dress or anything that I need washed, why Jean takes home.
I see.
I've never sent them down. I sent my brassieres down. I came in here and I bought, a day or so before I got sick, I bought myself a lovely garment. Paid a big price for it down in Bronson. What was Bronson's?
Yes. It's Crowley's now.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, I can't think of the... And I got myself two... brassieres, and cross your heart brassieres, and I've had the worst time keeping track of them. One was gone for 3 weeks.
Do you put your name on things?
Write your name on with a marker, and I put WG on them in the little flap so it wouldn't show, and I lost three pair of pants. And I was desperate, I suppose. Yes. You're used to getting things, you can't get them. Well, the other day, when my brassiere came back. So now I've got both my you put your clothes in the laundry, and they do a good job.
Mm-hmm.
They're back usually the same. Now, that green dress I had on, I was going to put it on today, but I thought you'd think I wore it all the time.
No.
I had sent it to the laundry, and it came back, comes back just beautiful.
Now,
everybody
likes
it.
Do they charge you for doing a laundry?
Oh, no, that goes right. I don't know whether they charge us or not. Of course, everything that they got from the house will come back into here. Roger pays the mortgage, and Elmer's Social Security. That all helps pay my way, but I don't know. I suppose, as Mr. McCarroll said, when your money's all gone, you're still kept here. So we've got an awful lot to be thankful for.
Yes. I think Medina has a wonderful hospital.
Of course, I just about blow up and burst when I think of the hospital, because I saw it come from so little to so much.
Yes.
Miss Douglas would be so proud of it.
Yes. Well, I thank you very much for this interview, Wilda, because I know that one of the first to come in here, and here you are, is the Queen Mother, really. You really are, in your throne.
I don't know if I'd consider myself that, but I've been awful, awful lucky.
Well, a lot of people speak very well of you. I've been telling people, you know, I'm going to go do another interview with Wilda Grumson. And
I don't know. Maybe if you talk to some people, they'd say I was terrible.
No, not at all.
I've had a lot of patients around town. A lot of them, of course, are older people. And as far as I know.
Well, thank you, Wilda.
The World History Project of Orleans County. I am Ethel Willis, interviewing Mrs. Pearl Gotts at her home on the Bates Road, Medina, New York. Mrs. Gotts, will you please identify yourself?
None.
Your name?
Well, I was born in 1890 in Beansville, Ontario, Canada. My mother went over there for me to be born because there was no hospital in Medina at that time. And she only stayed 3 weeks. But nevertheless, I had to get my naturalization papers out when the World War was on, or I couldn't cross the border.
And what was your father's name?
Thomas.
Thomas what?
He didn't have a middle name.
What's your last name?
Corner.
Corner. And your mother's name?
Levina.
Levina, and what was her maiden name?
House.
Levina House Corner.
Uh-huh.
And did you have brothers and sisters?
3 sisters. No brothers.
Will you tell me who they were, please?
Mabel.
Who married?
Who married Spencer Kinnery. And
Lula.
Who married Wilson Fox and lives here on the Bates Road next to me. And Ines married William Hickey from Medina.
And the first two of your sisters are still living, are they not? Mabel and Lou?
No, Mabel died.
Oh.
And Ines.
Oh, that's right. Just you
Ines
and Lula living.
Ines died.
Where did you go to school?
Where?
Yes.
On Bates Road.
Mm-hmm.
Until, I went to 8th grade. Then I went to about a year in Medina. And they didn't have typing and shorthand those days in school. And so I quit school and went to business school for a year. And then after graduating from business school, I worked in New York Canner's office.
When was the business school that you attended?
Albion.
Albion, a privately run school.
Yes.
And how long did you work at the Canner's?
17 years.
17 years. And you were married when?
1909.
Your husband's name was?
Harry.
Harry Goss.
Mm-hmm.
And he is no longer living?
No. He died in 1943.
And where else have you worked?
Well, after getting through at the office, I started in business on Main Street, Medina.
Mm-hmm. You never worked for anyone else?
No. Well, previous to my marriage, I worked in Cook's East Center Street office.
I see. And then you started in business for yourself in what year?
1932. And I started in business in the store where Western Auto is now, and later years moved down where the Goodman pharmacy.
And your business was a restaurant?
Restaurant and
which
soda.
Which you called?
A soda bar.
A restaurant which you called?
The Maple Leaf.
The Maple Leaf. I remember going there to eat years ago. How many people, what people worked for you? Who were they?
Well, Belle Beerby, she worked for me for 17 years. She was a cook.
Uh-huh.
And two of her daughters also worked for me in the kitchen. And Mildred Brady and her mother, Mrs. Cross, worked in the kitchen. And out in the store, I had all the young people that ever grew up in Medina.
Including Earl Bear Brady.
Including Earl Bear Brady and Bernard Dujinsky, Maynard Kinner, Jim Jennings.
Marion Helen Bolt.
Marion Helen Bolt was with me 12 years.
12 years.
And
until the time that you sold out the business?
Yes, uh-huh. Uh-huh. And I'm trying to think of who else.
Well, you did pretty well to remember that many, I think. One thing that I remember about eating in your restaurant was that during the Depression, you had a 35-cent lunch that was complete with soup and a generous slice of your excellent pie. Didn't you tell me that you used to have turkey dinners for 35 cents?
Complete turkey dinner, including soup and dessert, for 35 cents.
And I remember Blanche Nestor used to come in every day for lunch, and her sister, Bess Stewart, who worked at the Gould's Flower Store. Blanche worked at
all the businessmen in town.
Oh, yeah.
And they had, they formed it themselves, breakfast lunch.
Oh.
Breakfast
club.
No, breakfast club.
Uh-huh.
And they called it the Maple Leaf Breakfast Club.
Oh, yes.
And one morning, it was very, very hot weather. They picked up the table and the tablecloths and the coffee percolators and all their food and went out and on the sidewalk.
Oh, for goodness
and had
sake.
Breakfast.
Oh, for
and the Waters came up and took the picture.
Oh, good. Good. I remember Paul Parsons used to eat there, and the Gerald Houseman.
Yes.
And Joe Brundage.
Yes, and Leo Collins.
Yes.
And Mr.
And way back, didn't D.W. Wilson used to eat there?
Yes, and Craig Ross.
Yeah.
And Vince Cardone, and I'm just trying to think of the breakfast club that they
had. Oh, yes.
The breakfast
yes.
Club.
Uh-huh. And Miss Bigelow, Miss Stella Bigelow used to eat there
she ate
at lunch,
years.
Didn't she?
She never missed a day, I don't think.
Is that right?
Oh, and she know. Always took the lunch out for George Carpenter.
George Carpenter, her very faithful
chauffeur
servant. Yes, yes. And Mrs. Luther used to eat
yes.
there sometimes, didn't she?
Mrs. Luther always ate there for